puts the Srimad Bhagavatam on the altar,
yeah,
and then gives out or takes form, doesn't have to go through all the processes of bhakti and
no, there's no. No, there's no shortcut. The point is, by doing that, you become inspired to follow the process of bhakti. And I wish it was so easy. Then, for $500, you can go back to Godhead. That reminds me of the Catholic Church. They had a process in the Catholic Church called indulgences. Anyone heard about that before? Maybe study students of history. Before the Protestant Reformation, the Catholic Church was selling certificates that you go back to heaven, or to heaven, for a certain amount of money. And the reason they were doing that was to build the temple in Rome. You know, raising money. Somewhat like we have a temple. it's a similar type of procedure. And then we sell, the bricks and everything like that.
Yeah.
So, of course, we're not giving people a certificate they go back to Godhead. But sometimes when the people raising their money, they say, if you give to this temple, you're sure to place in Lord Chaitanya's abode.
Yeah.
They say things like that. So
it's marketing.
It's a good marketing technique.
Since he announced it in the temple, I was thinking, why didn't he tell me last year?
Anyway, you still have to chant Hare Krishna, you still have to be a pure devotee, you still have to do everything else, which is pleasant. The devotees want to do that. I mean, our activities are both the sadhana and sadhya. Do you understand what I mean? The activities that we have are the practice, the sadhana, and the sadhya, the goal. Because in the spiritual world, you chant Hare Krishna. And here you chant Hare Krishna. In the spiritual world, you eat prasadam. And here you eat prasadam. In the spiritual world, you dance. Here you dance. You know, everything's the same. Nice wind here. Jaya Radha Madhuba Kunja Vihari.
Jaya Radha
Madhuba Kunja Vihari. Vallabha Giri Varudha Ke. Gopi Jana Balaba Girgaro Rake
Gopi Jana
Paramahansa, Paramahacharya, Vasudeva Satishi, Shimad, His Divine Grace Abhaya, Chananada Bhaktivedanta Goswami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananda Gauti, Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nittananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Gijai Shishi Radhakrishna Gopikopta Saim Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturam Kijai Jagannatha Swami Kijai Yamunamaya Kijai Srimati Lasi Devi Gajai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Gajai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay, so today is another auspicious day in the Vaishnava calendar. And today two things happened we are commemorating. One is, it is Visvarupa's appearance day. Visvarupa, of course, is the brother of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we're going to discuss about him. And also, it's the auspicious day that Srila Prabhupada took the renounced order of life. So we're going to talk about that too. So first we'll talk about Visvarupa. So Omagana Timiranda Shaganjana Shlakaya Chakshuran Miditam Yena Tasmai Shigurveda Maha. So as we know, Lord Chaitanya's mother was Sachi Devi and Lord Chaitanya's father was Jagannath Mishra. And before the appearance of Visvarupa, who is Lord Chaitanya's older brother, Sachi Mata, well, you can put it up there. That way you get a better reception. So Sachi Mata had eight children, girls, who all died. So you actually see, this is a very common thread in the lives of many pure devotees, that there's a lot of difficulty. And there's several reasons for that. It's not karma, believe me. What it is that Krishna is actually displaying to us their heroic activities in serving the Supreme Personality of God, and how they don't get discouraged and they keep working enthusiastically, utsahan nischaya darya tatat karma pravartana, in spite of all obstacles. In spite of all obstacles and problems like Queen Kunti, Prahlad Maharaj, I mean, we can go down the list. Srila Prabhupada, even Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, whose appearance day we were just celebrating. So many challenges and people dying in their family, losing all their money. I mean, this is Krishna's, it's pretty much what Krishna states in the Bhagavatam. Yashaham anagrinami harishye tad dinam shanai. When I especially favor someone, I take away things that are... Anyway, that applies to all of us, so be careful. Don't be too advanced in devotional service. It's a problem. No, Prabhupada actually said that Krishna is especially merciful to his followers, so don't worry about that. And Prabhupada said we shouldn't pray like Queen Kunti prayed. Tatra tatra jagat guru, please let these miseries happen again and again. Prabhupada said, the material world's miserable enough. In Kali Yuga, I mean, it is. I mean, I don't need any more miseries to make me Krishna conscious. I got enough. So, anyway, so, but eight daughters died. And then finally, her ninth child was a son. That's Visvarupa. And he's considered to be Sankarshan, an expansion of Lord Nityananda, expansion of Balaram. Sankarshan, like you have Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha, the what's called the Chaturvyuha expansions of the Lord. And these expansions keep repeating at each step, which is interesting. Just like you have Lord Ram, you have Lakshman, you have Ram, Lakshman, Bhart, and Shatrughna. So you have these four Chaturvyuha, four, that's repeating myself. You have the Chaturvyuha expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyway, so he was Sankarshan. And what one thing happened early in his life, he actually took sannyas very early, because he was overhearing his parents discussing his possible marriage. Of course, he was detached. Because I won't say anything. So he was overhearing his parents discussing his marriage, and in the next room, and he thought, "Not for me." And he left in the middle of the night. And his parents, of course, were completely bereft. Several things happened as a result of that. I mean, one of the things that comes to mind is that his mother, Sachimata, blamed Advaitacharya, because every day Visvarupa was going over to Advaitacharya's house to hear Krishna Katha, and she just blamed him so much that she committed an offense against him. She said, "Your name is not Advaita, your name is Dvaita." In other words, Dvaita means two, like you're two-faced, making a play on words, you know. Advaita means one. Advaita means not two, not dual. You understand? Like we have Advaita Vadas. You know, people believe in the oneness, you know, which is impersonal philosophy. And then we have Sri Padmavacharya, who always has his fingers up like this, like Advaita. You know, he believes in duality, dualistic philosophy. And of course, we believe in what? Does anyone know? Achintya Beda Veda Tattva. We believe duality and singularity simultaneously, inconceivably. It's a little sign language for you. So if you happen to be deaf, you know. Anyway, so that's our belief, you know, that everything is one, everything is different, simultaneously. What does that mean? To explain that means that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his energies expand from him. In one sense, his energies are the same as him. In another sense, the energies are different. Like the sun and the what?
Sunshine.
Got it, you know. Very interesting. I'm trying to make sure everyone's awake. So, therefore, Sachimata, getting back to the story, said he's Dvaita, in other words, two-faced, because he acts like he's our well-wisher, but actually he's encourage my son to take sannyas. You know, mothers get really angry like that. And as a result, she committed, well, not really, it's a pastime, but ostensibly she committed an offense. And what happened is that one time Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was doing his Mahaprakash Leela, displaying himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sitting on the throne of the deities, and he was giving everybody love of God. And he said, so-and-so will have love of God, Shivas will have love of God, this person, and then he left out Sachimata. And everyone said, what about your mother? He said, no, she can't get love of God. Because she's offended at Dvaitacharya. And she called Dvaitacharya Dvaita instead of Advaita. And so she got a little very upset. And then the Dvaitacharya got even more upset. And what he did is he started crying and he touched Sachimata's face. And of course, she begged for forgiveness and she got love of God. So Prabhupada comments that even if you happen to be the mother of God, if you commit an offense at the lotus feet of a devotee, you can't get love of Godhead. Pretty good, isn't it? Or important. Very important lesson. So that's one lesson we learned from that particular pastime with Vishwaroop. Another thing that happened with Vishwaroop, or after his leaving home to take sannyas, his father, Jagannath Mishra, Lord Chaitanya's father, blamed his education. Just like sometimes we don't want people to read the Bhagavad Gita because they'll get too detached from this material world. Like if you have a child and you want them to make a lot of money and just go into business, you know, you don't let them get into Krishna consciousness. I've seen that happen, actually. That we had one instance where the daughter really got into Krishna consciousness and the parents sent her back to India to a dance school, you know, just to get her away from me, actually, basically. And then brought her back home thinking she was cured. And then as soon as she got home, she ran away from home and joined the temple. Anyway, so parents definitely, you know, because they want their kids to be nice little materialists, isn't it? I mean, who's going to support me when I get old? You got to be a doctor. Forget about that Hare Krishna stuff. You can chant Hare Krishna in your home, but you know, nothing serious. You see that? Sometimes places in India, which should remain nameless, the parents are really good devotees. They come to the temple, won't let their children come to the temple. Interesting, isn't it? So, anyway, so getting back to the point. So they don't want their children to be educated in the truth of life. That life is terrible. Even, you know, I mentioned the other day, even my brother told me, when I said, I'd like to tell you about Krishna, he said, don't spoil it for me. He actually said, ignorance is bliss. So, not really bliss, but actually, Prabhupada said there's only two types of people who are happy in this world. Those in the mode of ignorance and pure devotees. Or satisfied, not really happy, satisfied. Because if you're in the mode of ignorance, you're unconscious, so you're really satisfied. And if you're pure devotee, you're always satisfied. So anyway, so Jagannath Mishra blamed Vishwaroop's education for his taking sannyas. And Jagannath Mishra was very upset, and he said to Nimai, that's Lord Chaitanya, he said, you're not going to be educated from now on. And then Sachimata said, but you know, how is he going to find a good wife later on? You know, his parents are thinking like that. Whatever. And he said, how is he going to find a good wife and support himself? And Jagannath Mishra replied, similar to what the Bible says, you know, about don't the lilies in the field, aren't they dressed nicely? Anyway, doesn't God provide? You know, nitya nityanam, chaitanas chaitananam, eko bhavanam, yogadadatikama. That the Supreme Personality of Godhead is supplying the needs to all the plural living entities. So, of course, the devotee does have faith like that, but still he should work. Because he doesn't want to take service from Krishna, he wants to give service to Krishna. So, Jagannath Mishra forbade Nimai from going to school. So Nimai became a juvenile delinquent. Did you know that? You know what a juvenile delinquent is? He became a criminal. When he would go out into the pasturing fields, or where they were growing things, and he would put on like a bull costume. And he and his friends would destroy the fields. You know, anyway, they did all sorts of harassicaldom. It's really interesting. And then, ultimately, he did something that really, really bothered his mother and father. He climbed on a pile of rejected cooking pots. Now, in India, in those days, they cooked with the clay pots, and after they cooked, throw it away. So that's actually clean to do it like that. Now we use stainless steel, we get chromium poisoning, and so many nice things happen. But stainless steel, let's speak of aluminum and other things like that. So anyway, they would cook these clay pots, throw them away, but that was a Brahminical process. So so he was sitting on this pile of rejected cooking pots that we considered impure. And then his mother said, you know, get down from there, Nimai. Well, you know, you're in something impure. And then Nimai said, basically, pure, impure, it's all one. You know, he started to speak Mayavadi philosophy. There's nothing impure or pure. And then he also said, you know, wherever I am, everything is pure. Revealing himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And ultimately, he did get down, and they sent him back to school. So also, Nimai had a dream in which, actually, this is an interesting story in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. One time, Nimai ate some betel nuts. Some friends of beetles, you know, but it's betel nuts. He ate some of these betel nuts, which are intoxication. And they're offered to the deities. Because Krishna is allowed to take intoxication. He doesn't have to follow the four regulated principles. So you're not supposed to take these betel nuts at all. Of course, in India, it's very popular. You know, people pawn and betel and spitting everywhere. And their teeth are nice and red. You seen that? It's really obnoxious habit. And so Nimai took it, you know, by accident or on purpose. And he became intoxicated, and he was having a dream. And in that dream, then his brother, Vishwarupa, who's called Shankaranya, was beckoning him, join me, come with me, take sannyas, leave your family. And Nimai said to his mother and father, but I told my brother, no, I have to take care of my old mother and father. So this is very important. There should always be a son to take care of the mother and father. Not that you just bring your brother to New Zealand. and the poor mother and father are left without support. Mm-hmm. Actually, you find in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes that in the case of Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta, Goswamis, they were ordered to stay at home and not join Lord Chaitanya until their parents passed away. This is very, very important instruction for us. Of course, Raghunath Das Goswami was told to get the hell out of there because his parents were not engaged properly in devotion. They were actually Kanishtha Adhikaris, whom Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called worms and stool. Imagine thinking about your parents like that. They are worms and stool. Anyway, so he goes, because they were interested in material upliftment in the name of devotional service. But if one has parents who are engaged in preaching and, you know, wonderful parents, then there should always be a son. You understand the principle? Who's with them. That's very important. And if the son gets married, they move in with the couple. That's the process. So we don't want to, you know, we don't want to separate a son from the parents. Even if the parents are favorable, of course.
The daughter-in-laws take away the boy's Guru Maharaj.
Then they should be... They should be instructed that this is not the proper process.
But in modern days, does it still work?
We'll make it work. Just show me the case where it's an outward and I will take care of it.
Quite many times the reverse happens.
Yeah, I know, that's the problem. Because when the point is, when the girl gets married, she joins the boy's family. Okay. There's actually a reason for that. There's a good reason, it's called mother-in-law. Because when I've experienced, because I deal with many couples who have trouble, that I would say in 70% of the cases where there's trouble between the man and the wife, it's due to the wife's mother, who's actually encouraging the daughter, in this way. So one has to be very careful. I'm not saying that all mothers-in-laws are bad. We got some mics here. So. Please forgive me. Anyway, so please forgive me. We got some mothers-in-laws here. But, there's good mothers-in-laws. But they're the exception. It's not everyone. But in the cases that I've seen, it's just, someone else is intruding between the husband and wife. It's not good. When the wife gets married, the woman gets married to the man, that's a couple that should be sacred at that particular point. And nobody should intrude. Anyway, and not even the husband's mother shouldn't intrude, but the husband's mother is taken care of at that point. But nowadays it's Kali Yuga. Of course, we've heard stories where the husband's mother is actually beaten by the wife, physically. So, this is not good. This is not culture. And these people will suffer from the Yamadutas, I guarantee, if they do anything like that. Anyway, so cultured people, there's some love in the family. And we understand our responsibility to our parents, isn't it? That's very important. Krishna says in the Gita that austerity of the body is respecting and worshipping one's superiors, like mother and father. Of course, Guru was there too, thank God. So, and these are considered like worshipable personalities in our lives. Isn't it? So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to his parents that, don't worry, that dream I told my brother, no way am I taking sannyas. I will stay and take care of you. Of course, we understand Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did something different, but that's Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Anyway, so later on, the final portion of the story, after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and was residing in Jagannath Puri, he used the search for his brother as an excuse to go to South India. He said, I want to find my brother, so give me permission to go to South India. I want to find out if he's still alive. And it's described that Shankaranya, that is Lord Chaitanya's sannyas, the name of Lord Chaitanya's brother when he took sannyas, he left this world in Pandapura, which is in Maharashtra. Maharashtra, where they worship, that's Tukaram's area. Pandapura. It's called, but the name of the place here in the book is Pandarapura. Pandarapura. That's actually the technical name. I copied this from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he left this world, and it's described that because he was part and parcel of Nityananda, he sort of entered into Lord Nityananda. So, he's Sankarshan, so part and parcel of Lord Nityananda, so joined with Lord Nityananda. And in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, he's there with Lord Nityananda. He's the same person, it was a pastime. So, then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found him, but Lord Chaitanya used that as an excuse so he could go to South India and preach to so many persons. It's described when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to South India, whoever saw him became a pure devotee, and whoever saw the person who saw him became a pure devotee, and whoever saw the person who saw him became a pure devotee. Many generations like that. That's pretty nice, isn't it? So, and then so many things happened when Lord Chaitanya went to South India. One thing happened is interesting. Lord Chaitanya brought a servant, Krishnadas, with him. And there was this group of gypsies in South India called Bhattaharis. and they attracted people to their join their group with ladies. And so Lord Chaitanya's servant left Lord Chaitanya. Imagine being with God, just the power of illusion, isn't it? You're with God himself, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he just left him to join the Bhattaharis. And the gypsies. And what happened is that Lord Chaitanya went to rescue his servant. And he said to the Bhattaharis, he said, "Give me my servant back." And they rushed at him with all these swords. And by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's potency, the swords actually turned on the Bhattaharis and cut them to pieces. But that's a miracle. And then Lord Chaitanya rescued his servant. And later on, Lord Chaitanya... Yeah, he smacked him. So Lord Chaitanya... Well, that's love. Spare the rod, beat the... spare the rod, spoil the disciple. You understand? You ever hear that expression before? It says spare the rod, spoil the child, but it said spare the rod, spoil the disciple. I changed a little bit. Good spanking. Anyway, so... Of course, you can't physically spank, but you can spank someone with words. That's even harder, yeah. So anyway, then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was going to Vrindavan, he said, "Give me someone who's mature to be my assistant." And that was Balabhadra Bhattacharya, who was mature. But even Balabhadra Bhattacharya, who was actually mature and didn't leave Lord Chaitanya, he asked Lord Chaitanya one time when they were in Vrindavan for permission to see Krishna. Because there was this fisherman in the Jamuna River who was lighting a lamp at night to attract the fish. Sometimes they do that, the night fishermen. And everyone thought Krishna was dancing on the Kaliya serpent. So the light, the moving light, and I guess the fish jumping up or something like that. And they thought, well, Krishna's come back. And everybody was talking about going to see, are you going to see Krishna tonight? Are you going to see Krishna tonight? And so Lord Chaitanya's servant, Balabhadra Bhattacharya, heard this. Oh, they're going to see, and he said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Can I go to see Krishna tonight?" And he's with Krishna. He says, "Can I go to see Krishna?" Not so good. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also slaps. He said, "Do you think Krishna's going to appear like that in Kali Yuga?" And then later on, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked one of the residents there, "Have you seen Krishna?" And then the resident said, "It's just a fisherman." "It's just a fisherman, and foolish people think that Krishna has appeared." And then the man said, "But Krishna has actually appeared." And he said, "Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." Anyway, so that's the story about Shankaranya, Viswarupa. And also, we have some time. Also, today is the day that Srila Prabhupada took sannyas, commemorating the day. Srila Prabhupada took sannyas. So here's some of the stuff. I'm going to try to skip over it, although I have this whole chapter here in my Kindle. So look, Srila Prabhupada kept having this dream over and over again, like a recurring dream. And this recurring dream was that his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, would come to him and just beckon to him, "Come on, take sannyas. Take sannyas." And Prabhupada comments, and I heard this comment, Prabhupada said he was horrified. Because, he had a family and everything like that, and he had daughters that hadn't been married yet. And in India, that's quite a heavy thing. And he recognized this order is actually the same thing he heard from his spiritual master when he met him in Calcutta for the first time, that your business is to preach in English in the Western world. So he understood his spiritual master was saying, "Now take sannyas, you will actually be able to accomplish this mission." And he thought, "Well, I'm actually doing that already, even as a vanaprastha," because he was vanaprastha. Actually, it's interesting how Srila Prabhupada left home. One day he told his family, "I'm not coming back." And they thought, "No, whatever." And he didn't come back. Anyway, they were taking care of him. He wasn't irresponsible, because his wife, there was money, the wife's family was taking care of her. Everybody got taken care of. You know, it's not that Prabhupada acted irresponsibly. And also, Krishna arranged, before Prabhupada even took Vanaprastha, that everything was taken away from him as far as the material goods. Like we mentioned this verse, Yashaha Managrinami Hoyishe Tandanam Shanaka. When I especially favor someone, I just take away. Prabhupada's father always told Prabhupada, Krishna has 10 hands. With 10 hands, he can take away everything or give you everything. Prabhupada actually experienced that. Like Prabhupada said later, he said, I left my home, and your children were more or less grown up. I left the children, and now Krishna's given me so many children who are obedient. Mm-hmm. It's better have children who are obedient. So anyway, and Prabhupada's godbrothers hadn't been successful preaching in the Western world. And so he felt really incapable, in other words, humble. And he even wrote this poem called the Viraha Ashtaka, that means experiencing the separation of Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur, and how his spiritual master's mission had been dismantled after Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur left the planet, because they were fighting over the moths, over the properties, in court. And I believe some of those fights are still going on even today in India, over the properties. And of course, the disciples of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur are no longer on the planet, but the disciples of disciples or disciples of disciples of disciples are fighting over it. So Prabhupada understood that sannyas was the purpose. The purpose of sannyas was for preaching, because as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, the exoteric reason for his taking sannyas, the understanding we normally have, is that so the people would respect him, because his students were actually making fun of him. You know, there's that story that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one time was chanting the names of the gopis, feeling ecstasy, and his students started to chastise him. Just chant Krishna's name. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ran after them with a stick to beat them. and he sort of lost his students. So Lord Chaitanya understood that I'm just encouraging people to offend me. And it's the opposite of my mission, you know, to save everybody, so I want everyone to respect. So he took sannyas for that purpose, not that he needed respect, but for the purpose that it was necessary. People would listen to you. You know, just like, I'm just a sannyasi, people listen. You know, if I dress like an ordinary Joe, you know, like yourselves. Sorry for the Joe or Jill, you know. Anyway, then we say, oh, it's just no prashad from him. He could just eat what everybody else eats. So there's natural respect. However, in the West, it doesn't work like that. It's interesting. You know, you can go to and preach in the university and say, I'm a sannyasi. And they'll probably say, that's weird. You know, if you say, I'm celibate, oh, what's wrong with you? Especially nowadays, it's just like, what's wrong, you know? Like, everybody's a different type of sexual preference now. You know, it's actually gotten really bad. Actually, in the religion that I was brought up in, it's prohibited to be a single. If you're a spiritual leader, it's prohibited, it's against the rules. So, of course, in the Catholic Church, the priests are generally supposed to be single, but it doesn't work out like that in real life. I mean, there's been so many popes with children. Did you know that? There were so many popes with children, and there was even one lady pope. And she got kicked out as soon as they discovered she was pregnant. So, that's a real story. It's true. Look it up. So anyway, so our standard is that sannyas, the only reason for sannyas in Kali Yuga is to preach Krishna consciousness. There is no other reason. You're not going to become more Krishna conscious by taking sannyas. You know, I remember receiving my danda in 1978 in Lima, Peru, and I definitely didn't become more Krishna conscious by getting the danda. It was nice, you know, because everyone respected you, but but it doesn't make you more Krishna conscious. We should do whatever is necessary for preaching. And in the Western world, the grihastha life is actually better for preaching in general, to Westerners. And also for cultivating people, because you have a home, you have a wife, you have a family. It's very, you know, people are comfortable. You know, if I invite people to my home, they're not comfortable. It's just like, oh, who's that weirdo? So anyway, so... But people like, they come to your home and they see little kids running around, screaming. And it's, you know, that's what they're used to. So in the West, some of our best preachers are married. So anyway, so, but this is the Vedic standard. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had taken sannyas. In fact, he gave himself sannyas. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur invented our method of taking sannyas, because traditionally, as we mentioned before, the sannyasis in our sampradaya were babajis, you know, just wearing this longer gamsha, lungi it's called, white, and they walked around, no shirts, no sewn clothing, even in New Zealand, no toboggans, you know, hats. They walked with a wrapper, of course. Chatter. They would walk around like that. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in order to understand how to preach, he invented our type of sannyas. What he did is he went to South India, saw the Ramanuja sannyasis, Sri Sampradaya sannyasis, and he saw they were carrying a danda. Of course, Lord Chaitanya had an eka danda. He didn't have a tree danda. Mm-hmm. He had one danda. Mm-hmm. It was broken by Lord Nityananda to three parts. But anyway, so he saw how they're doing, they're respected. And then he looked at the Ramakrishna mission, which is the Mayavadi mission. And he said, well, so our dress is like that. He copied the Ramakrishna mission, except with the Tridanda. You know, the mind, body, and words dedicated to Krishna. So anyway, so sannyas is, in Kali Yuga, is sort of a trick to get people to respect, and also to free someone up so they can travel around and not worry about paying the bills, except in the temple. So, actually, Prabhupada originally did not want sannyasis to be in the GBC. In fact, when Tamal Krishnamurti took sannyas, Prabhupada took him off the GBC. And when Prabhupada discovered there was no one with a brain like his, he put him back on the GBC. It's true.
Yeah.
You know, and everything started to go haywire in India. Prabhupada said, well, forget about sannyasis not being on the GBC. Bring him back. Mm-hmm. Nowadays we have many sannyasis and grihasthas on the GBC. But it's mostly sannyasis. So anyway, so... Of course, there are injunctions that in the age of Kali, sannyas is prohibited. But that's only in reference to just Mayavadi sannyas. But for preaching, it's necessary. So Srila Prabhupada understood now is the time to take sannyas. After many dreams of having his spiritual master said, do it, do it, do it, Abhai. So then he started to go to his godbrothers and ask them to give him sannyas, because that's how you generally take sannyas. Although Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he gave himself sannyas because he didn't have any godbrothers. He was the only disciple of Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, the only initiated disciple. So, anyway, so he went to his godbrothers. First of all, he went to Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj, the leader of the Chaitanya Math in Calcutta, and still... Prabhupada was thinking that Chaitanya Math is the headquarters of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mission, but there had been so many legal disputes, and Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj won that particular math in 1948. So each sannyasi had individual math. There was no coordinated preaching mission at that particular point. So Srila Prabhupada went to him. He wrote to Tirtha Maharaj about it, as well as about the Chaitanya Math helping to print some of his manuscripts. And Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj replied that Just join our movement first. Anyone who's acting against us is in Maya. You know, people, it's partisanship, you know, political. So he said, you should join and be under my direction. And you can also become a sannyasi in time. Just reside in Armath. We have many houses. There are rooms that are airy and well lit, he said. We will treat you exclusively. There won't be any difficulty. We will take care of there. No inconveniences for you. But, you know, as far as printing books, we have our own books we want to print. So we're not going to print any of your books. And, of course, Srila Prabhupada was not encouraged by this. He understood there was a shortage of funds. And Prabhupada was working with a broken typewriter. You know, manual typewriter?
Yeah.
Not even a computer, obviously. Yeah. Not even an electric typewriter. You know, when I first learned how to type, it was with manual typewriter. No, not that. I knew how to touch type. I was very fast. You know, but it was harder on the keys. It was not like... boop, 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 boop. I learned how to type fast. So, anyway, I had a course when I went to high school in typing. It was very important. Prabhupada said, give me some money and I will join you. Prabhupada was practical. Because I want to print my books, you know, obviously. So, you know, Prabhupada understood without printing books, there was no use in going to the West. You know, taking sannyas was one ingredient and printing books was the other ingredient. Because if you go there without empty-handed, I mean, what are you going to do? Just speak? And he thought, well, what's the use of going to Calcutta and residing in a nice room? So he asked Tirtha Maharaj to reconsider, and Tirtha Maharaj wrote back, and he said, just stay with us, engage in the service of the society, then maybe you'll accept sannyas. The purpose of taking sannyas is to serve our temple. You know, it was very much partisan. And then he really discouraged Prabhupada. He said, it's never the principle of the society to let one act according to his individual attempt or desire. In other words, saying, you're just acting independently. So you see, Prabhupada tried to cooperate with his godbrothers first. It's not that he just left the mission, even though there was no mission there. And then, and he even said, now, his godbrothers even said, now it is that there are no more conferences or meetings in the West. All communication is done through the media and television. That was a lie. Mm-hmm. Now you can say internet. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you don't communicate through television like 50 years ago. You know, it's just, or, you know, actually more than 70 years ago. So, Abhay then turned, he understood the crying need of the world for Krishna consciousness and his spiritual master's mission. And then he turned to Keshava Maharaj and Mathura. And Keshava Maharaj told Prabhupada, take sannyas immediately. You going to take sannyas? You going to work?
Yes.
Okay, have a good day. We'll see you later.
Yes.
And then... Prabhupada was feeling a little uncertain in the beginning, but after hearing from Keshava Maharaj, Keshava Maharaj kept insisting, you've got to take sannyas immediately. And this is Srila Prabhupada's words. He said, I was sitting alone in Vrindavan writing. My godbrother insisted to me, Bhaktivedanta Prabhu, you must do it. Without accepting the order of renounce order of life, nobody can become a preacher. That was in India, of course, in those days. Prabhupada said, so he insisted. Not he insisted, practically my spiritual master insisted. He wanted me to become a preacher, so he forced me through this godbrother. You accept. So unwillingly I accepted. You know, because, you know, Prabhupada was still thinking of his family, responsible. You know, because sannyas means that you're dead to society. You know, society is dead. You know, you have no more debts to society. And so he probably went to the Keshavaji, Gaudiya Math, which is in the middle of Mathura. Actually, I've been there. several times. It's a very small place, and Prabhupada had been there many, many times before. He even donated the deity that was there. There's a deity of Lord Chaitanya next to Radha and Krishna. Sri Sri Radha Vinod Vihariji. Okay. And then Abhay entered, and of course he was dressed in white at that particular time, and he would leave as a sannyasi. Very dramatic. He was already renounced. So he wasn't, one reason he wasn't so enthusiastic about taking sannyasi because he had seen many bogus sannyasis in Vrindavan who indulged illicitly in sex life, and caste Goswamis who ran temples as businesses. Actually, the temples in Vrindavan originally owned most of the property in Vrindavan, at least in the Lloyd Bazaar area. And they gradually sold that property. And it was spent, the money was spent to a large extent for family members, not for the worship of the deities. So Prabhupada understood sannyasis for preaching. And so on the morning of September 17th, 1959, in the deity room there, Prabhupada took sannyas, wore a garland of marigolds. That was Krishna wearing a garland of marigolds, and with the deity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the pictures of all the acharyas there, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, Gorgashir Das Babaji Maharaj, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and also Bhakti Keshava Maharaj, who was the acharya there at that particular time. And Srila Prabhupada sat on a mat of kusha grass besides one of his godbrothers, a 90-year-old Sanatan, who was to receive sannyas on that same day. And the person leading the kirtan was a Kinchana Krishnadas Babaji, who I met, Prabhupada's godbrother, the only Babaji amongst Prabhupada's godbrothers. And he was a great, wonderful devotee. He would always be absorbed in Krishna Nam. I remember talking to him, asking him a question. He just replied, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He wouldn't talk about anything else but the holy name. And he would chant beautifully. And he would start laughing at you if you asked him any question, just chanting Hare Krishna again. What should we do about the GBC? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So you could see he had no problems in this world. But just a great devotee. He was much loved by all the devotees in ISKCON at that time. Of course, he was on the planet after Prabhupada passed away. So, and then Prabhupada was asked to give his speech in English by Keshava Maharaj, which is quite unique because nobody here at that point spoke English except for maybe Keshava Maharaj and a few others. So Srila Prabhupada gave his speech, and of course we don't have a transcript of this speech, and he was given sannyasi. When they take sannyasi, they're given new cloth, a new Brahmin thread, dhoti, of course, you know, upper piece, lower piece, and underwear, new tech, neck beads, and a danda, a tree danda. And Prabhupada posed for a photo, and you can see in that photo, Prabhupada looks like he's getting ready to fight a war. And it looks like his danda is a gun, or a sword, or something like that. So Keshava Maharaj gave the instruction to Srila Prabhupada, you should preach. And Prabhupada understood that this was his commitment for preaching. And there's an article in a newspaper called the Gaudiya Patrika, and I'll read some of the article. Seeing his enthusiasm and ability to write articles in Hindi, English, and Bengali, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave him the instruction to take Tridandi sannyas. For nearly 1 year he had been ready to accept sannyas. In the month of Bhadra, that's why it's important, Bhadra Purnima. Now I know why Bhadra Purnima is important. Ah, that's the day Prabhupada took sannyas. Wow. The day that, you know, I guess the preaching mission in the West actually started, or whatever, it started when Prabhupada published the books, but, you know, just Prabhupada just like stepped out of all material engagements and took a vow of complete absorption in the movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, it's really important. So you can explain that when you're trying to distribute books. It's a day the Prabhupada took sannyas. Bhaktivedanta Swami at the Sri Keshavaji Gaudiya Math accepted sannyas from the founder of the Vedanta Samiti, Bhakti Pragyana Keshava Maharaj. Seeing him accept his ashram of renunciation, seeing this pastime for accepting the renounced order of life, we have attained great affection and enthusiasm. And that's from the Srila Prabhupada Leelamrita, which everyone should read. So, any questions or comments? It's already 8:05. Actually, it's not. That clock is fast, but anyway. Yes?
What are you were talking about? Pandapur?
Tukaram.
So, those saints, they come in disciplic succession? Tukaram?
He actually is... His kirtans and are very much reminiscent of Lord Chaitanya's kirtans. It's a different style, you know, different drums. They were coal instead of a mridanga. But, you know, he was pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He went back to Godhead. His wife didn't go back to Godhead. It's an interesting story. You know the story? No? Tukaram, he was always, like, engaged. He didn't do any business or anything like that. And his wife was just like so upset with him. Oh my God, poor lady. Even had a kid, you know, it's just like, Tukaram, go to work. And he's in there. He kept chanting the Lord's holy names. Vital. In Pandapura. And he kept chanting. Ultimately, when it came time, and there's many miracles that happened, like people tried to destroy his deity and they were unable to destroy the deity. He was always protected by Krishna. But anyway, at the end of his manifest pastimes, the Vaikuntha airplane came, Garuda. Actually, there's a film about it. But Garuda looks pretty bad in that film. He looks like a fat bird with little wings on it. You see that film? I mean, I was thinking, how can that bird fly? You know? But anyway, Vaikuntha airplane came down from the spiritual world to pick him up. And he said to his wife, because you're my wife, you can come with me. She says, no, I have my family here, you know. And then as the plane took off, he's waving goodbye to her. And he goes back to Godhead, and she stays and rots in the material world. I mean, yes, ultimately she went back to Godhead because she was married to Karam as a pastime. So he's famous in Maharashtra.
Same with Ganeshwar Maharaj.
I'm not so familiar with Ganeshwar Maharaj. But, it might be the same. I'm just not familiar with that. And, Lokanath Maharaj, our Lokanath Maharaj, was born in that area, in Pandapur. And he's very familiar, and he goes there in Maharashtra to preach all the time. He has many, many followers there in Pandapur. So they're great devotees. You know, they believe in Harinam Sankirtan. You know, they go out with their drums, and they do Harinam all the time. And they have famous pilgrimages where they walk hundreds or thousands of kilometers to go different places on Harinam. You know, famous pilgrimages that they do. Yeah, so they are, and Prabhupada commented, you know, they follow in Lord Chaitanya's footsteps. They're inspired by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's Tukaram, great saint of Maharashtra. Tukaram, very great personality. Any other questions or comments or problems?
Guru Maharaj?
Yes.
I just want to tell about one Mataji, but I don't want to tell the name of her.
She
don't know English very well, and all our devotees in
that's
the house.
That's nice.
But they are touching Mataji. Don't do puja, disturbing her. And
you said there are all devotees in the house, and they're just
devotees in the
house. They won't let her do puja.
All the kids and.
But if they're devotees, why won't they let her do puja?
But I don't know why they are doing like because.
Anyway, send them to me. I'll talk to them. Maybe she's ringing the bell too loud because she's deaf. I mean, who knows? I mean, there's several different sides of the story. So we're not gonna. I would speak to them if they're interested in speaking to me. Yes.
Maharaj, when we have home programs.
So we go to a devotee's place and they've got food from outside, cooked by a non-devotee, but they've offered it to Krishna. Can we take that prasadam?
Well, if it's been offered to Krishna, food from outside means who prepared it?
Maybe at a restaurant or at non-devotees.
I would definitely have some dietary restrictions. So, I mean, in extreme circumstance, you know, if people are going to be offended and leave Krishna consciousness, then we may make a sacrifice. But on a regular basis, no. But sometimes, you know, for the purpose of preaching, like I remember there was one place Prabhupada went to in India, and yeah, they were serving garlic in the food. You know that story? I think Shruti Kirti tells the story. And then maybe it was Tamal Krishna Maharaj who told Prabhupada. Yeah, it was Tamal Krishna Maharaj who told Prabhupada, there's garlic in the food. Prabhupada said, just be quiet and just take the prasadam.
But then later Prabhupada chastised, right? They should have made the arrangement.
Yeah, chastised the devotees for making the arrangement. But once you're there and sitting down, I mean, that happened to me once. I was at one member's house, and they said, well, we made these papadums just for you. And so I took them, and it was garlic in the papadums. I didn't say anything. You know, because it's time, place, and circumstance. On a regular basis, no, you should make some arrangement. But sometimes someone has done something with devotion. Not meat, of course. Sometimes someone has done something. I mean, like, even if I go home to my mother, she'll cook for me some, you know, vegetables or something. And I take it. So there's certain circumstances where you have to be careful not to offend people. So, I mean, food cooked in a restaurant. I mean, I never eat food cooked in restaurant food. In India, I always have my own cook. That way I don't get sick. You know, so you eat food. And devotees, they go to all these restaurants. You hear this all the time in Mayapur. There's a pizza restaurant. There's probably two pizza restaurants in Mayapur, at least. Maybe three. It's funny, you're in Mayapur and you're eating pizza.
It's good pizza, though.
But Prabhupada said, they make it from buffalo milk. And Prabhupada said, buffalo milk rots your brain. Anyway, Hare Krishna. I just spoil it for you. Right? Robert said, buffalo milk rots your brain. When I was a young devotee, I would take buffalo yogurt sometimes, which is very thick.
Yeah.
And you have this oily residue in your throat. You feel like swallowing detergent to get rid of the oily residue. Because it's extremely oily. It's very oily. As Prabhupada said, buffalo milk rots the brain, cow milk is good for the brain. So, if you have problems, don't blame me. You love to eat, and you eat to die. You're dying to eat, really. Or eating to die, one of the two. Okay, so any other questions or comments? Yes.
Guru Maharaj, older devotees, past 80 years, sometimes, like, if they've had an accident, they've fallen, they're not well, and how can other devotees help them? In instances like not even going to read with them or something
of course.
But what happens is, because these people are older, yeah, and some of them have been very independent and living alone.
That's very hard.
And then they say, no, we don't want anyone, don't tell anyone. So what do we do in that case?
Yeah, I've experienced that, particularly with my mother. She's not an older devotee, but she's 91. She's living alone, and me and my brother are very concerned. You know, we understand. She's still driving the car. You know, like last year, she took me for a ride in the car. And I chanted the best job I've ever done.
That's so good.
Yeah. Mama. that's her independence.
Yeah.
You know, we talked to her, how, you know, I talked to her, I can arrange a nice place near our temple, devotees will take care of you, you know, assisted living, even you'll have your own room. She says, no, I'd rather die. So, you know, that's...
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's true. So, we try our best, and it's up to them. We can't force ourselves on people. But it's many people are used to independent living. I mean, I am too. I think I would have a hard time if I was put in that circumstance.
Yeah, no, it becomes very difficult. But at the same time, like the devotee association, you know, when like we want to help them, but somehow other
give them an iPhone so they can listen to Krishna Katha on the phone and have some control over it. I think that's one alternative, that you just give them some sort of MP3 player so they can hear themselves, because they don't really, I'm in that situation, my mother's like that too. I don't really want to be dependent on someone else. You know, it's just like, it's just part, something my whole life I've just actually been able to do things for myself. So that's the hardest thing. So give them some facility, you know. So when I get old, it's going to be a new computer. Or at least a robot, you know. So. You know, they have these robot vacuums now. I was in someone's house in the United States, and there's a vacuum cleaner, there's a vacuum music. They said, watch out for the robot. Lift your feet, you know. So. Anyway, there's different things we can do for them, helping, giving them something. You know, it is very difficult. I mean, I don't know how I am going to cope with that, you know, when I get older. What?
We'll just force it.
We'll force it, yeah.
No, no. No, you won't. You will not do that.
iPhones.
You know, I just... Give me some electronic gadget that does it. Something I can control. Because the loss of control is a really big problem.
Yeah.
You know, like when I was having my operation in the hospital, that was one of them. You know, the pain was nothing. I didn't care about pain. But it's just like when you're in someone else's hands and they tie your head back. Like that. We're in control of your body. Oh, get me out of here. Like Prabhupada did that. He was in the hospital for a heart attack, and Prabhupada said, get me out of here. All they want to do is take blood. And Prabhupada ordered his disciples, and the nurses and doctors were running behind them down the hallway. You're going to kill the old man. You're going to kill the old man. And they were just like pushing Prabhupada out of the hospital. I said, get me out of here. There's a story. There's a Prabhupada in Amrita. So Prabhupada was like that too, you know.
Yeah.
And Prabhupada stayed in this world a lot longer, years and years longer after that. So he didn't need to be in the hospital.
Yeah.
But you know, they keep you in the hospital. They want to do these tests on you and everything. Prabhupada didn't like that. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was supposed to have a hernia operation.
Mm-hmm.
And he refused because he thought there was a plan to kill him during the operation. So he refused to have, he had a hernia problem too, and then he refused to have it. Interesting. Okay, I think we have a big day today. Got a lot to do. And we'll see you all later. Good crowd here. See, we have more people here than in most temples in this time. In the Western world. We got old people here, young people here, young people, medium age people, doctors, teachers, cooks, grandmothers, mother-in-law. All right. Oh, glad you brought that.